The Business Bunker with Paul Andrews.
A pleasure to welcome back onto the Business Bunk Show, Annette Bunn from Rift Accounting. Hello, Nitty, how are you?
I'm all right, you?
Yeah, good, thanks. How's things in the world of Rift Accounting?
Yeah, Rift Accounting's in chaos mode, as usual. It's all busy. We're just coming up to a new tax year about to start. So everybody's allowances are moving, and, you know, it's 50,000 now before you're a high rate taxpayer from the April the 6th.
Yeah, but we got a Chancellor's statement in 2 days' time, haven't we?
Where he's, knows what he's
if,
say.
If he's going to be true to form, we're going to have about 20 new taxes that they're going to tax. You know, going to tax fresh air and tax grass.
Yeah, let's hope some of them are retrospective as well. So
tax you for something you did in 1942, just to be on the safe side.
Just to be sure and find a rule about it. So, no, but it's all interesting stuff. Just normal business is normal, really, and making tax digital, obviously, that's about to hit.
Coming
and,
along,
there's new stuff going to hit for the construction industry in October, because why wouldn't you do it in October? Because, you know, tax years run April to April for businesses.
So introduce it in October, keep them on their toes.
So, you know, let's do that in October. So loads going on, lots of things to work on.
Well, and as usual.
Yeah.
Young Nitty, you've actually brought us a guest.
As usual, that's the other thing I meant to do, isn't it?
Bring us a guest again.
Take.
Yeah, yeah.
So but what? This is a returning guest.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. We were so amazed last time, we wanted to make sure.
My goodness, make sure he was Well, you know, I think cars are something that lots of people love to talk about, don't they?
Yep.
And if you can get a car, and you can get a car and utilise some tax benefits and all sorts of other things to get a car, why would you not?
Yep.
It sort of goes hand in hand with what I do and what Paul does, even your Paul, what Neil does.
Yep.
But also Horizon, how many years have Horizon been running now?
4 years now.
Four and a half, halfway to nine. There's a trend.
Who knew?
And I think, like everything, your business has evolved and changed, hasn't it?
Oh,
what people do and how people buy cars or use cars, probably a better way, is interesting, forever changing.
Well, we're in interesting times as far as cars are concerned. It's an absolute pleasure to welcome back onto the Business Bunk Show, Mr. Neil Page of Horizon Vehicle Leasing. Welcome back, Neil.
Thank you.
We're going to talk cars, obviously, for a while here. We're in a strange time, really, as far as cars are concerned, aren't we?
Yeah, it is.
Because you don't have to comment on this, because I'm perfectly. As we've had a go at DVLC, we might as well have a go at the rest of them.
DVLA.
DVLA. Yeah.
Let's do DVLC then.
Can have a go at them.
But put it in for next week.
The C is what I gave them for customer feedback, to be honest.
That was
generous. Wasted.
Wasted. Yeah, DVLA. I can't give them an A, for that. Yeah.
Was it noted?
But we've been through the shenanigans where certain of our politicians decided we ought to all have diesel cars, and then they discovered that we really oughtn't to have diesel cars, and now there's loads of people talking about penalising diesel cars, and of course the car manufacturers don't respond or can't respond as quickly as politicians who just come up with silly ideas. They've got to build production lines and make vehicles. So, what with Brexit and all other kind of things happening, the car industry's gone into a bit of a kind of frenzy at the moment because they've kind of lost their way a little bit. But outside of that, and more apposite to what you do, Paul, there's been a change in the way that people acquire cars in the last few years, really, hasn't there?
Yeah, generally. I mean, a lot more people are looking at leasing, particularly personal leasing. I mean, as people have come out of company cars, that's one side of it. And we see people that had a company car, they've been taxed out of those cars, but still want to have the same sort of car that they were driving, but just have a car allowance now, which then they need to sort of get a car.
Yeah.
And particularly the personal leasing and building in the maintenance and that sort of thing is where a lot of people we see sort of coming a lot of business from that side. But also a lot of older people, in fact. I mean, when Paul was talking about the market where he was looking at, he was surprised that some older people going to his courses. The number of older people that have decided that actually they don't want to own anymore. They just, they talk to their son, their daughter or somebody else, and they said, the way to go is leasing. And we get an awful lot of older people that are actually leasing their vehicles as well. So the market is an ever-changing market. And a lot of people that do it, I mean, a lot of younger people, there's not that own culture that we have for the older generation that you must own everything. They want to get what they want to get. They want to get a nice vehicle. They want to be able to drive that car and renew it every few years. And particularly, the younger generation, the way forward for them is not ownership, it's leasing.
Absolutely. Well, let's deconstruct some of that, because things have changed a lot. And I'll tell you my car story from many years ago, company car story, because the whole thing about company cars has changed. But way back when, you used to just buy a company car, and you were taxed on it, but it was nothing, really.
Yeah, it wasn't too onerous.
It wasn't too onerous, and you could buy what you liked, and you were taxed against the value of whatever you paid for the car. And at the time, I was working for a bank, and senior officers got a car. But the way that the car scheme worked is we had a certain amount of money, depending on your rank, and you just went out and bought a car, for the money that they had. And one of the guys that worked for me got promoted to a position where he got a company car, and he got the money. And this is how long ago it was. It was $9,000 is what you got. So most of us bought a BMW. You could buy a BMW, a new one, for $9,000. Yeah. At the time. So most of us went out and bought a BMW because that's what you did then. Yeah. Back in the '80s. This guy went and bought a Lamborghini. Right. He bought a secondhand Lamborghini for $7,000 because the engine had blown up. Right. So he bought the company car, and then he put it in the garage and said it needed repairing. Because, of course, it was a company car, so the company paid all the repair bills, and it cost $25,000 to repair the car.
Brilliant.
Fantastic, wasn't it? Yeah, he was paying a pittance in car tax because it was second-hand, and he only paid $7,000 for the car. And, of course, the company were not amused at all.
And then he got sacked.
Yeah. No, they actually changed the car scheme.
Surprise, yeah.
And they said, you can buy a BMW as long as it doesn't cost more than this. And that was it, basically. So you could do that kind of thing back then.
Yeah, not there.
Nowadays with a company car, the tax situation is vastly different, is it not?
Yeah.
First and foremost, no matter what you buy, second-hand or new, you're taxed on the new price of the car.
That's right, yeah, what they call the P11D value of the car.
And also, it's not just on the price of the car, is it? It's to do with the CO2 emissions of the car, whether it's nice or not.
Yeah, no, exactly.
If it's nice, they treble the tax.
No, exactly. It's based on, as you say, the P11D, so the value of the vehicle, that vehicle new, doesn't matter how old it is.
Yeah.
And then the CO2 value of that vehicle, so obviously the higher the CO2, the more the cost to the driver and to the company, in fact, as well. So national insurance.
So to a large extent, having a company car of any kind of quality or price, it's kind of priced out, really, isn't it, for a lot of people.
Yeah, it has done. I mean, well, you have seen, you know, those that have still gone with the company car route, and we talk to people every day, particularly sort of small business owners that try and decide, you know, what should I do? Should I have a company car? Should I have, you know, should I take it personally? I mean, so there is that toss-up in terms of looking at what the best value, if you like, for the, you know, small business owner that's running their own business.
Yeah, absolutely.
Whether they do it personally, whether they do it through the company. And we always say to them at the end of the day, speak to your accountant, speak to people like Riff, because they will be able to do the best thing.
Absolutely.
So it's that sort of juggling act. And depending on what vehicle they choose, if they do choose carefully now, hybrid vehicles, electric vehicles, if that's the way they want to go, then it can be, you know, tax efficient still. And it depends on how much they go paying themselves, because at some point they will hit the 40% tax rate compared with they might not be paying 40% tax on the car. You know, there's got the VAT you can offset and that sort of thing. So, you know, there's lots of factors to look at.
There is. And the problem is it changes. And I was smiling while you were saying that, because a little while ago I got into my head that I was going to buy a Tesla, an electric car. And whilst they're expensive, I thought, well, I can buy it as a company car, because it's one of the few company cars back then where you could own it. And the tax implications were very low because the government trying to incentivize you to do it. And I got halfway through the process. I'd test driven it, and I was looking at it, picking colors and all the rest of it. And the government changed the scheme. Yeah. And he's saying, well, it's not worth it anymore. Mm. Yeah. And the thing is, if you'd have bought the car and then they change it, you're stuck, aren't you?
Yeah.
And that's the problem. We were making reference earlier to Mr. Hammond and his propensity to
backdate
taxes. Is nowadays you can't trust anything either. You know, you make a decision now, you don't know what it's going to be like next year. But I want to start talking about the whole leasing issue. Hello, seconds out, round two. What was that?
My phone.
Oh, blimey.
I have it on my chair, so you don't hear it. And it's just jumped off my chair. Yeah. Anyway, carry on. Yeah. I want to be professional here.
I want to explore the whole thing about car leasing, but car leasing has suddenly exploded as well. I don't acquire cars any other way now. Mm-hmm. Well, That's not entirely true, but mostly I lease cars on a personal lease. Just step us through where this whole concept of leasing came from. Because once upon a time, people were wary in the early days of this because there were things like balloon payments and all that kind of stuff. And everybody go, hold on a minute, you know, what am I getting into here? Yeah. But the market's changed quite a lot since then, hasn't it? Step us through that, Neil.
Well, originally it came across as a lot of these things do from the States where people were doing sort of PTPs, leasing. I mean, really, the difference being is that companies have been sort of leasing vehicles for years where, you know, that it's basically the difference between what the leasing company can buy the vehicle at and what they sell it at, and you're just paying that depreciation, that difference, plus a bit of interest.
Yep.
And particularly in the current climate, the interest is relatively low, all you're paying is depreciation.
Yep.
So it's where you can buy that vehicle at the best price and get the best price to sell it, which the leasing companies do, because that's what they do all day, take thousands of vehicles, sell them in the right place, at the right time, get the best money for them.
Yep.
So it's just an individual taking advantage of that. And that's sort of really come down from where, as you said, there was at one time when people, and you still a lot of PTPs around, where you put a lump sum down, you pay a monthly payment, at the end, you've got a value. The trouble has been is that for many years, that value that the manufacturers or the funder will put at the end of that contract, vehicles don't generally achieve that. So there's no point in people buying it. People generally don't buy at the end of a PCP agreement anyway. Mm. All they're doing is handing the car back.
Yep.
Anyway, so why not lease it? Because actually the tax benefits can be better. It's generally cheaper. And there's been a lot of sort of programs and that sort of thing that have looked at it, that looked at that sort of whole sort of situation and said, well, actually, why do you want to go to a dealer and do a PCP agreement? If you go to a broker, you'll get it, you know, the savings are actually much greater.
Mm.
And so in that respect, it can actually be much cheaper. You get the road for license included for the whole agreement. You can have a maintenance contract included. You can have all your tyres, your batteries.
Yeah, I was going to say, my wheel rims, I'm allowed to curb two sets of wheel rims in mine.
Done it, yeah?
Yeah.
Done it.
No, I'm waiting for the right moment. I'm waiting for the right curb to come along.
Ah, right.
Yeah.
Fussy.
So it's a whole, the thing, it's a whole package. So, you know, from a customer point of view, you know what you're going to be paying from the day you get the vehicle to the end of the contract to the vehicle. You know, it's all included. It's nice. It's easy.
Yeah.
And, you know, and go again next time. You can put down what you want. You don't have to put a big deposit down. You can put a small amount down. So it's simple.
Well, for me, I tend to lease luxury cars. The whole beauty of it is you don't have to expend a huge amount of cash to get it.
No.
You know, you can budget for it over a period of time. And also, as long as you move upwards, you don't even have to see out the whole lease anymore. You know, sometimes, you know, you can get an upgrade, as long as you upgrade, partway through the lease.
I mean, for all leases, you do have to technically finish the old agreement, and you have to settle it. And
there can be a cost
to do that. So, you know, from our point of view, we wouldn't generally say to people, you know, to take a four-year lease when you intend to finish it after three, because you will have to pay to get out of it. But you can get out at any time. You know, there's no restriction of you getting out of the vehicle. It's just, you know, there may be some cost.
Yep.
There may not be in some situations. So depends on the mileage you've done and that sort of thing.
Sure.
I have a question. At the moment, then, a lot of people, and I lease my car through Horizon. But a lot of people will go into a garage and they'll test drive whatever they've got on the forecourt and then they'll make a decision.
Mm-hmm.
But we all know that the car industry is, you know, very different than it was 20, 30 years ago. And yet that concept doesn't seem to have changed. What do you think will happen in the next 4 or 5 years? Do you think there'll just be like a big warehouse and you can go and try anything you want?
No, the car will come to you.
Well, that's true. But I can live with that stuff. That's fine by me. Is it a limo and is there a good-looking driver? Yeah. You know, that's all we get.
No, there's no driver at all. The car just rocks up on its own and goes, hey, babe, do you want to buy me?
Yeah.
And you go, no, in a moment, I'm not looking. And then it'll drive off down the road to sign somebody else.
That will come that we'll book a car to take us to work and it won't be a taxi, it'll be a
horse.
Yeah. But I mean, I'm just wondering what you think about garages, showrooms, whatever you want to call it.
I mean, obviously showrooms have their place and they will continue to do so, but talking to, you know, a lot of people in that industry, they really wonder whether it's sustainable. you know, the cost, the relative cost of you know, having a dealership, of having it in the right format. The right
especially stuff. A major manufacturer's dealership, they're really expensive franchises. Mm. And the fact is, though, you can walk into a dealership or a garage with a thought in your mind about what kind of car you want, and they haven't got it.
Mm.
Yeah. It's like, it's a long tail business, like any other business, that retail outlets, be they a garage or a bookshop, cannot stock everything.
No, I mean, you know, most manufacturers, that the product lines they have now are just huge.
Yeah.
And you cannot possibly have even half of the vehicles that they do, let alone the combination of colours, interiors, all that sort of thing. I mean, have the little swatches and that sort of thing. Mm. That's why you see things like, you know, Mercedes-Benz World, BMW doing it, VW doing it, where you have these sort of centres where they do have, yeah, huge centres at great cost, but they're not just sort of showrooms that you can go and buy cars there. The whole point is to sell the concept to that particular manufacturer. Mm. But you've got a test track, you can enjoy an experience, you can have a driving day. Mm. So it's the whole sort of package. Mm. And whether there become more of those run by manufacturers because of the cost involved to set up that kind of operation, and you see dealerships close. So the trouble is, of course, the service centres you might just have is a lot more service centres. And to be fair, that's where most dealerships actually make their money.
Absolutely, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, you know, if a dealership doesn't hit a target, they make nothing out of new car sales.
Yeah.
It's the used cars that they'll make some money at, and it's the servicing.
And I agree. I see that. For me, that's where I see things going, that you won't really buy a car from a local dealer. Their service centres, and they may have a couple of cars there just as, you know, demonstrators or whatever. But really, most of the sales will be online, centralised, a call centre type place where you call up and you go, right, configure your car, or configure your car online, and we'll deliver it to your local garage. Mm. Yeah. But the garage will be a service centre primarily, rather than a sales centre. That's the way I see it. Yeah,
I'm always interested, Neil. Don't want to overly lead this, but I like the stories about the testing at the moment, because there's all this noise about the car sales are down, but there's actually a really good reason behind it.
Well, there is. I mean, may remember, a certain manufacturer, German manufacturer, got into an awful lot of trouble because of the cheating the test.
Yeah.
And, I mean, effectively, the test was stick a car on a rolling road, do 56 miles an hour and 20 minutes, and that's it. You know, see what it produces. Well, you know, that's quite easy to cheat and you know, it's not realistic. So the way in which vehicles have been tested has changed. It's now what they call WLTP, World Light Vehicle Testing Program. And all vehicles have gone through, all cars have gone through that program, where they now, it's a much longer test. It involves start, stop, different speeds, different loads, all variations, different wheels. If you put different size wheels on, it'll make difference to fuel consumption, CO2, that sort of thing. Mm-hmm. And gives the consumer much better, more realistic view of what actually the fuel consumption, what the CO2s are. Mm-hmm. But the end result has been that all manufacturers effectively stopped production last year, so that they either had to register the vehicles by the 31st of August or scrap them.
Yep.
And of course, they were never going to scrap them. They didn't want to be registering fields cars, so the easiest thing, stop production. Mm-hmm. And until those vehicles have been tested, they weren't either going to make them or start production again. And there's still some vehicles that haven't gone through their test program. And that's from, you know, September to September. So there's some manufacturers that still haven't had vehicles, particular model lines, on the road because they can't do that. But as a, you know, from a consumer point of view, it's a good idea. And of course, this year, the commercials are going through the same process. So they will be going through the whole WLTP testing program. So we see a lot of chaos coming for commercial sector. And in terms of vehicles and just not being available, as manufacturers stop production to get vehicles tested, go through the new program, and for some engines and some vehicles, they'll just stop making those because they just don't meet the new standards.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's interesting with commercial vehicles as well, isn't it? Because already a lot of them are banned from London in any case.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing. I mean, you know, and I think there's so much, and I think that's part of, you know, we talked about the government and their sort of policies, and I think that's part of the issues. There's been so much sort of quick reaction to, we're going to stop sort of vehicles, and, you know, it's got to be Euro 6 or Euro 4, depending on petrol or diesel.
Yeah.
And the end result of all of that is that a lot of confusion in the marketplace.
Chaos is the end result of that, yeah.
We deal with a lot of chauffeurs, that we deal a lot with the chauffeur market, you know, covering London, driving sort of Mercedes S-Classes, V-Class, that type of thing.
Yeah.
And, you know, those are people that are driving every day, and the concerns about what's going to happen, can I be driving my vehicle, if I've got to spend £10 a day just to go into London, let alone parking, you know, it's going to make what they do, that the costs skyrocket. And so, you know, there is a lot of confusion. You know, the information hasn't been well communicated, and people are concerned about what's going to happen. If they do that today, on the lifetime, if I have my car, they're going to change it again, and am I going to have to pay more? So it's for those vehicles that don't meet the new standards. Basically, most vehicles that have been manufactured in the last sort of 3 or 4 years will meet all the ultra-low emission zone standards. But what happens if they change it again? Say, well, we're going to change it that it's got to be a Euro 7, if a new Euro 7 or something comes in, sort of standard. So in that respect, it's a very sort of confused market. People don't really know what's going to happen.
Yeah.
You know, is it best to go electric? Is it best to go petrol? Is it go hybrid? What do I do?
Exactly.
And it's difficult to sometimes advise people because... Who knows?
And for the car manufacturers, it's a nightmare because it takes a long time to tool up. And on top of all of that, you've got the vagaries of any old market, which is, you know, what do people want? You know, at the moment, people are knocking out SUVs still. You know, I see some ridiculous... You don't have to comment. I just think it's an abomination to have a Maserati SUV. I just don't. It's not done. What are you doing? Stop it.
Rolls Royce.
Rolls Royce have got an SUV. Yeah. Stop it. Don't do that. But everybody wants an SUV at the moment. But how long that will last, who knows? And so you've got that overlaid on top of everything else.
That's the same story, isn't it? Those who can afford it will, because they can.
Yeah.
You know,
whether
you look at some of those sort of vehicles, and personally I look at them and think, God, they're awful. But if you've got the money and you can afford to, why not?
Yeah.
And that will always happen for whatever it is. But it's the mass market, and that's the thing, I think, where, you know, there's a lot of confusion. People don't know what to do. You know, there's whether people go electric route, but actually electric, really, there's just not the cars there. The worst thing is infrastructure. It's not the infrastructure to be able to you know, to charge all of those vehicles. Even if everyone wants an electric vehicle tomorrow, you know, they can't have them.
Yep.
I mean, manufacturers, you said, the life cycle of a car is approximately 7 years. So just to stop production, just to, you know, get a new vehicle, it just doesn't happen. The costs are enormous.
Yeah.
And development costs and vehicles, you know, even when a brand new vehicle comes out, they've already started on the next vehicle, and that's 7 years away. So, you know, that sort of thing, it's a long sort of cycle process. And yes, you know, you can develop engine to put in that particular model, but then it's got to be torn up for that particular thing. And it's, again, it's things like the cost, because you think about particularly hybrids where you've got a petrol or a diesel engine. Well, there's a certain cost for that. Then you've got to stick out a new electric engine, the batteries, all the infrastructure, the stuff that actually goes along with that. The additional costs at the moment makes them not as an attractive prospect as petrol or traditional petrol and diesel. So yeah, it's you know, it's interesting when you're talking to customers. People want to go you know, clean, and they want to go hybrid, they want to go electric, but the vehicles aren't there. Or the, you know, the actual choice isn't just not there at the moment.
It's interesting, though, because the car industry in general has responded to this pretty well, and CO2 levels of cars have fallen enormously compared to what they were, you know, even just a few years ago, with new technology and the way they do things. And, of course, nowadays, a lot of cars, a lot of the car is software. The mechanical bits are fewer and fewer. Most of it's software driven. It's all electronic. My car's ridiculous. You talk to it. In German, obviously. In fact, no.
Do you find yourself replying to it?
Because I just do what I'm told.
My friend's got an Audi, and it was so funny. He was getting out of the car, and it said, "You've left your phone in the car." And he said, "I know, I'm coming back," and it just made me laugh. It's like, it's not, it doesn't respond yet. But
I get in my car the other day, and I go, "Car, home, okay, for the sat nav where I can't remember where I was." I go home, and I start driving, and it's going turn left here and turn right. I'm thinking, this isn't right. And I look at the sat nav, and it's taking me to Homeforth in Yorkshire.
Okay. And what's wrong with that?
Exactly, so I rang the dealer. I went, "I want a Cockney version of my sat nav, please. Thank you."
But it's interesting, isn't it? Because now you've got, if you've got this gap in production, are you going to end up with a gap in secondhand cars coming up?
Well, I mean, quite possibly.
Will people want to give the leases back? Because is there anything ready to take on?
I mean,
that sounds very negative.
This is really interesting. And if you look at the commercial vehicle side of this, this is where it becomes interesting. There are certain ages of commercial vehicles. I'm talking like transit vans and stuff like that. Yeah. You can't drive them into London. Yeah. Because they don't meet the emission target. Yeah. So that whole market's been killed if you go anywhere near London or soon to be Manchester or Leeds or any other big city that introduces the same thing.
Yeah.
So you've got what used to be traditional small builders vans that were bought on a secondhand market for $5,000 a pop.
Yeah.
Are now unusable if you drive anywhere sensible.
So people have to get new vehicles, and say if there is a shortage of it, what's going to happen? And we do see problems coming in that respect. So, you know, we do tell our customers, you know, what are you going to do? How are you doing it? But equally, there is still that confusion as to what do I do? Do I hang on? I mean, we talk to people saying, well, I don't want a diesel, I want to petrol. Well, you can still drive these into London if it's a, you know, Euro, oh, is it, oh, is that right? You know, and people are very confused in that. But I mean, you're talking about, values or vehicles or the availability. I mean, obviously with the sort of diesel being a really bad thing, you've seen diesel sort of sales drop, but also the residual values of diesels dropping hugely.
Yeah.
But interestingly, that sort of plateaued and now actually starting to rise again because that, there is that secondhand market where people don't want petrol engines. And if you're going to tow a caravan or, you know, put anything sort of heavy in a vehicle, it's that torque you need that you get from a diesel. So that actually secondhand market has started to push the prices up with diesel. So, you know, suddenly diesels have become a little bit more popular for leasing again because actually residual values are starting to rise. So, you know, it's that sort of balance of what's the best thing to do at the time. And, you know, come talk to people ourselves. Hopefully we give you some steer and guidance on that.
Absolutely. Well, let's just finish up on that, because it's been a fascinating discussion for those of us that like cars.
I do
those at times.
Yeah.
Just everybody. Everybody needs a car.
Cars.
So
well, you do now. All right. Remember, I like cars. Remember?
Yeah.
Who knew?
See, I like quirky cars.
Oh, we do everything.
I like two CVs and
Lady Penelope's pink.
And you know, I've got Fiat 500 with a so I like freaky little things like that.
I own a 2CV once upon a time. Oh, yeah.
It's the best.
With it, for the old gear changer. Yeah.
And the window going up in the air.
And the fold back deck chair on the roof. Yeah.
And the wheel being like you're driving a bus.
Yeah, exactly. But if I want to buy a car, I'm looking at a new car, although you can lease second-hand cars as well. Yeah. But let's stick to the new car market. I'm thinking about having a new car. Traditionally, I've gone to the local dealer of whatever car I fancy and kind of done it. How would I use someone like Horizon? How does that work that's different to just going to a dealer?
Well, from our point of view, we would not just look at that one dealer. I mean, traditionally, when most people walk into a dealership, they're going to see a retail salesman and they're getting a retail deal.
Yeah.
We tend to buy from, you know, the big fleet dealers, so we're getting huge big fleet discounts. We get sort of direct terms with some manufacturers, so some manufacturers give us direct terms, so it's bigger discounts than even the dealers will get in terms of the maximum discount, that sort of thing. So that's the front end of the vehicle. We've got the whole range of funders we can use, so we can talk to, you know, not a variety of different funders. Again, if you're going to a dealership, you generally talk into the manufacturer-based funder, and sometimes they will be the best funder for the particular vehicle. But, you know, we can still use that funder if that is the best, but we've got a range of funders we can use. So what we'll do is find the best overall deal. Sometimes we get a situation where somebody looking at a particular vehicle, particular colour, and we'll just find that particular vehicle at the best possible price we can. A lot of people now aren't particularly fussed which vehicle they buy. They want to buy a quality vehicle. They might be talking German manufacturer. And so, you know, what's the deal? And they're looking for a particular deal. So it might be, look, we've got a batch of these, which, you know, a leasing company has bought 500 of these particular vehicles. You know, we'll offer that out, you know, via people like ourselves to, you know, other general public companies, that sort of thing. So we can get a situation where we're getting dealers coming to us to get to supply the vehicle, so we can use that particular dealer to deliver the vehicle, in which case they get a handling charge, but they cannot compete with the likes of you know, the big leasing companies that we can use to actually get and fund those vehicles.
Right.
Okay. So that's, you know, that's why people come to us. You know, we do it online. We can do it face-to-face. You know, we can go and sit and talk to people, you know, the bigger companies or people on small fleets. We're happy to sit down with them and have a chat about what their requirements are and what they need and the types of vehicles, that sort of thing. You know, but a lot of people over the phone, on the internet, it's straightforward and easy to buy. As you say, that's the way that people tend to like to buy vehicles now. Mm.
Fantastic. So, Neil, if people want to find out more about you, what's the best way to do that?
Our website,
www.horizonvehicleleasing.co.uk.
You can call us 01233.
That's Ashford.
It is. 754-800. We're on Twitter, on Horizon, at Horizon VL. We're on Facebook, Horizon Vehicle Leasing. And yeah, whichever they want to contact us, call us, check us out and see what we can do.
Fantastic. Neil, thank you so much for that. It's a pleasure to see you again and to talk about cars. I love talking about cars, so that's always good fun. Thank you so much for that. We're almost at the end of the show. We've just got a few more emails and bits and pieces to do. What you got, Bert?
Well, you could stay on this subject forever, couldn't you? Because I still want to go. So what do we do, Neil? If I'm really honest, you know, you're like, so I'm confused now, even listening to you about what to do. Do I lease, do I not? And also, I know you want to go on, but is proximity power? So I go into, for example, let's talk about my Fiat. I go into Fiat and they're going to win my services because they're there selling the car.
But they'll still service it for you. That's not a problem. You can take it to any Fiat dealer to service that car. And that's not a problem in terms of, you know, that's like we're talking about the service centres.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's a case of, you know, do you want to get that vehicle, exactly the same vehicle, at a much better cost?
Yes, Neil.
Well, there you go.
There you go.
Come on, talk to me.
Your question. That's all you needed to say. You know,
She's cheap, if nothing else.
But it's
that
bit as well, isn't it? I'm blocking up it. But, you know, when I looked, I've got a BMW, but when I looked at BMW Direct, you know, just went into their showroom, and I've got to be careful what I say here because other cars are available, et cetera, et cetera. And when I compared it to what Neil could do, it was a no-brainer, and I sort of relate it a little bit like to buying my holiday online or going into the shop.
Yeah, yeah.
It's the same thing. It's the same holiday.
And
it's it's the same thing.
And I don't enjoy the process of going and buying a new car. I didn't enjoy going into Fiat. I didn't enjoy the process. I didn't enjoy, and I came away thinking, wow, I wouldn't have made that decision if it wasn't for the press. And I'm not saying the salesman gave me the pressure. I'm not saying that. The pressure of the sale conduit me into a different place. So we just literally call you and say, Neil, what?
Well, this is what I want. I want Fiat, I want it this, I want it that colour. This is the spec that I want. I want these options on it. I want to have it for 3 years. I think I'll do X amount of miles in it, whatever it might be. You know, and we can do that for you. I mean, to be fair, it doesn't have to be leased. We do all sorts of funding. So it can be a purchase. It can be all different sort of funding. But, you know, you just tell us what you want. We'll find it. We'll supply it. We'll have it delivered directly to your home, all included.
And that's the way it's going, isn't it?
Absolutely. I'll say this so that Neil doesn't have to. You know, you can get good deals. You can get exceptionally good deals. A few years ago, 7 or 8 years ago, I was going to get another car, and I've been talking to a dealer about getting it, and I just saw an email from a broker saying, you know, I can do these kind of cars at this kind of price. I'm like, no, you can't. There's no way you're going to do that. I've just been in the dealers. They were talking about charging me £400 a month, and this guy's going, I can do the same car for £192. No, you can't. But I called them anyway, and they said, yeah, no, we'll do that car. We'll do that spec. And it was a fabulous car. I got the car. It had pink seats. It had pink leather seats.
Yeah. There are no words.
That was the only drawback. That was the only drawback. But I actually fell in love. Flamingo pink. And I actually fell in love with the colour of those things.
Who knew?
I really did.
It's another chapter.
But it was a ridiculously low-priced car.
Pink seats.
But I said to the broker, come on, how are you getting this so cheap? Yeah. And basically, it was an end-of-line model. Mm. Yeah. It was an end-of-line model. It was a latest registration, but everyone knew that there was a new model coming out in a couple of weeks' time. I don't care. I'm only having it for 3 years. Actually, it was a 2-year lease. I'm only having it for 2 years. Who cares? And it's got pink seats. Well, and it was half the price.
There are words. Yeah. God, I mean, what's your best deal?
What's your deal?
Oh, best deal we've got. We've got lots of deals at BMW X3 at the moment. We've got deals. I can't think of everything we've got.
What about
got.
Porsche Boxster? It's my birthday soon.
Yeah, you get Stephen. One of those.
Stephen.
Do you want a Porsche?
Yeah, I do. I don't want yours. I don't want a red one. I want a nice new Boxster.
We can get you one of those.
That's no way. You can't, can you? What deals you got anyway? Come on, I'm not even a car person, but what deals?
Oh, top of the head, what have we got now? All the guys going off would be killing me now. Just go on our website and see www.horizonvehicleleasing.co.uk. But also all sorts of deals.
Okay.
BMWs, we've got deals
on
Fiat 500s.
She's got never boxed
her. Everything. Okay. Commercial vehicles.
What's the most ridiculous car you've ever
bought? Yes.
Most ridiculous?
What's the most ridiculous
Maserati car, SUV, obviously.
Oh, Ferrari, we had a couple of people wanted a couple of Ferrari.
An F1 or something?
No. I mean, just you think it was, I can't remember what it was. It was, I can't remember, one of the Ferraris.
Yeah, yeah.
Can you lease a Ferrari?
Yeah.
You can lease anything.
The only problem with Ferrari is they do stipulate, all the dealers stipulate, you've got to have about £50,000 of extras. You won't just do a basic car. They won't sell you a car unless you stick about 50 grand of extras.
And you need
on
a heated garage and with a heated floor. It's true.
Yeah, and with a Ferrari, an extra is like the steering wheel.
Yeah.
Tires.
Yeah, tires.
All that sort of stuff.
Yeah.
We should talk about it. It's crazy, isn't it?
We're at the end of the show.
The Business Bunker.